And says the helmet of what? Salvation. So what will defend you from being attacked is the fact that you know I'm saved. So there are things you will not do because, you know, if I do this, I can't do it because I'm what? I'm saved. So what's protecting your head, your brain? It is the salvation you have. But your salvation is not protecting your heart. Your salvation is not protecting you, and it's not making you to move. You need shoes. I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. So the fact that you are saved, it is just there for you to make decisions, to say this is right and this is wrong. And that's your helmet. And then we have got the belt of truth. And then the belt of truth is for you. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you here, right? So the truth is for my freedom. It is for my deliverance. So I know the truth, but the fact that I am free, it does not mean that I can defend myself. So there are people who get deliverance today, and tomorrow they are again in the same situation because they do not know how to defend themselves. So no matter how I pray for you, you will live here. The demons that attacked you, they will come back. The Bible actually tells you to say they will come back. So you hear, I pray for you. We cast out spirits. I'm free. I'm free. I'm going home now. You live here and you go back home, and only to realize that what we had cast out is back. How did it come back? Because you did not use faith as a shield. Because faith, it is what will shield you, protect you. Are you there? From all the darts of the enemy. So from the scripture there, the Bible says what? It says, let's go back. It says what? It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench. To quench all the what? The fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, not some. So if the enemy is coming using finances, you stop him. If the enemy is coming through sickness, you stop him. If the enemy is trying to come through division, you know what? Not by the word. If you speak the word and there is no faith, the word is useless. So the word only becomes effective when it's mixed. Because the scripture says what? We heard the gospel just as they did. But when they heard the same word, it did not benefit them. Because they did not mix the word with the faith. Come on, someone say, I'm mixing this word right now. Come on, say it again. Say louder, I'm mixing this word with the faith. Say, I'm mixing this word with the faith. So scripture says they did not benefit. So it means we can be six of us. And one can be speaking the word. And some will not benefit. What will make others benefit and others not? The scripture says, because of what? Because of mixing the word with the faith. Let's go to Hebrews, right, chapter 4, verse 2. It says what?
For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in those who heard it.
So they didn't profit. And I told you this, the fact that you are in church, whether you're a woman of God or a man of God, it does not mean you have faith, I promise you. Do you know Judas was with Jesus? Do you know Peter was with Jesus? Do you know everyone else was with Jesus? Peter was with Jesus, all the apostles, yet Jesus rebuked them several times of lacking faith. And these are men who were every day serving Jesus. And yet Jesus said, you of little faith. Because faith is not mandatory the fact that you are praying or you are serving God. Faith, as I said yesterday, can come. Faith can go. Faith is a spirit. It is not an idea. It's not something like you say, I have this idea, I have faith. Faith is not an idea. Faith is a spirit. I'm talking to someone right here, right?
Yes.
So you may actually think you have faith, or you do not. You may be in church and you do not have the faith. We read yesterday the scripture which says Jesus could not heal them.
Yes.
He wanted it to. He tried it to.
Uh-huh.
But the Bible says he could not perform any miracle, and he marveled of the unbelief.
Uh-huh.
Are you there? Did Jesus Christ fail? Oh, yeah. Does he fail? Yeah. Jesus fails where there is no faith.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, he does. Try it. Don't believe you see. Try it. So faith. Faith. Are you here, right? In Matthew 13:58, Jesus tried to perform miracles.
Now, he did not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief.
In NIV, it says,
he did not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith.
So, he could not. He tried it. Maybe let's try to start from verse 56. All right? Start from verse 56 to 58. People don't understand it.
Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith.
He wanted it to. But he couldn't. So if God wants to do something on you, he may actually stop it. My biggest question I gave you, which we use as a litmus to find out the level of your faith, is so simple. Do I ask God things which I think I will be able to do? Or there are certain things I don't ask God because I am scared they're too big for me? That question will make you know whether you have faith or not. If right now in your mind, you think by December, you have got a lot of things, and these things are making you think, wow, I have so many problems, I have this, I don't think this can happen, and already this, the devil is whispering in your mind, he says, look, all your friends are doing well, minus you. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
People think, when it says Jesus was tempted of the devil, people think Jesus Christ was in the wilderness physically like this. And then a snake came like, hey, Jesus. That was a battle in the mind. People think there was a snake moving like this. Say, hi, Jesus. Do you know where he was that time? He was in the wilderness. But the Bible says he was taken on top of the temple. Do you know where the temple is? In Jerusalem. It's not in the wilderness. So how he is fasting in the wilderness. How did he move from there to Jerusalem to be put on top of the temple? And then Satan took Jesus like this and carrying him like this to the temple. No. This was a battle warfare. That was taking place in the mind.
Yes.
Just like he has been whispering to some of you. He tells you, do you think you will make it?
Uh-huh.
Look at your friend. Look what's happening around you. You've been praying. Nothing's changing. Look, he begins to show you problems. And he puts up a picture in your mind. And then you see, no, no, no. And it's exactly what the devil does. And it's what kills faith. Faith is under attack. The moment there is anxiety, fear, doubt, questions, guess what? Fear comes in, questions comes in, doubt comes in, and there is no faith. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
I've been called crazy by my own people near me. You say, Papa, maybe we should speak to Mama. You need a counselor. I'm telling you the truth. Papa, what you are saying that you want to do? Mom, please. Daddy needs a counselor. I'm telling you, 4 years ago, they even brought a counselor at the house to say, so I'm sitting there. No, I'm saying this before God. Before God. A counselor came there and he's sitting there and he takes nonsense stuff. He takes something like pictures. He's asking questions. What is this? I'm like, I'm telling you before God. I'm like, what do you mean? You're asking me this. So now I was told to come and chat with you. He's like, but man of God, you're just okay. I'm like, who told you? He said, I know I want to disclose. Well, wishers, who love you? Because I went in the bush and I said, I'll build a city here. They said, maybe he went through a lot in South Africa. He needs medical attention. Because in my world, there is nothing impossible. Am I talking to you? In my world, there is nothing what? It looks insane, right? There's nothing impossible. So when I tell you things, you'll be like, is it okay? The moment the devil begins to show you things. No, I'm talking to you. The moment the devil begins to show you things, to say, look, he'll create images for you. And he'll package his voice to look like it's you thinking. And then he'll package his voice to make you think like you're a risk manager. Like you're managing risks. What if? Faith is a risk to start with. And there's no management of faith. How do you tell people to start singing a song? You would tell them to say, as we sing, this wall of Jericho will collapse. And we'll say, we'll be singing and we'll be walking around it. Now imagine if they were thinking like you of saying, what if it doesn't collapse? It will cancel the whole program. The moment there was, what if? Doubt comes in. Imagine Peter looks at a man who's born lame at a beautiful gate. And there are so many people there, scribes, the Pharisees that they are watching. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, what I give you, rise up and walk. If Peter and his man had a question of what if he doesn't walk, what will happen with these people? They were watching like this.
Yes.
What if he doesn't walk? The moment a question of what if comes in, the whole project is canceled.
Yes.
That's the meaning of doubt. That's why Jesus says in the book of Mark 11, verse 23, he says, if you say a word, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you have spoken shall happen, and you shall have whatsoever you shall say. If there is no doubt, so the enemy will package the voice of Satan as if it's you thinking.
Yes.
And he will begin to show you. You see those people? Look how good they are. You see they're watching you now. People are laughing at you.
Yes.
As he's doing that, he will send somebody to send you a message on WhatsApp to say, looks like you are suffering, my sister. To make things worse now. Like, yo, even people are noticing it. Then he will package another one to send you a message. Hey, sister. You're losing weight. Are you stressing? You package 6 people to tell you are stressing and you accept it to say you have got anxiety. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Touch your chest. Say not me.
Not me.
I'm talking to somebody right now. Say not me, not me.
Not me.
That's what happens. So we have got people right now who they were supposed to move great destinies.
Yes.
But they are not. Because the devil silenced them by speaking into their mind.
Yes.
So what's needed? Say action.
Action.
Say it again, say action.
Action.
So faith is a shield. Now we need to get that. Faith is a shield. Say with me again. Faith is a shield.
Faith is a shield.
The Bible says it is what we use to stop all the fiery darts. Not some. All weapons of the enemy, of the wicked, every weapon, it will not catch you. Not because you are a prayer warrior. Not because you are anointed. But because you have what? Faith. Say with me, I will never be defeated.
I will never be defeated.
That's faith. You should be saying those words, not because you are under panic. But because you mean what you are saying. Say with me again. Say, I will never lose.
I will never lose.
Say with me again. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Now, it will not prosper not because you have said the word, but because you have spoken the word with what?
With
the faith. So you find people who are speaking the word and the attacks are coming. We saw about Abel yesterday and on Monday. On Friday, the scripture says what? When he gave a seed, an offering, he gave it in what? In faith. Remember, it's not only him who gave. There were two of them. Cain and Abel. But one gave out of what? Faith. And one gave out of what? Out of just, I like giving to God. It must not be a like. Like, I like a giving. Hello? It must not be a what? A like. Like I like giving. No. Giving mustn't be a like. It must be of faith. The Bible says because he gave out of faith, his blood is through speaking. The Bible says that.
Yes.
The blood of Abel is through speaking. Because he gave out of
faith.
In verse 3 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith.
By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks.
Hear that? He gave through faith. So you can be here giving without faith.
Yes.
Because just like it, I love giving God. And it's through more half attacks fighting your family. And like, but I've been giving to God. And why all these attacks are coming to me? I understand you've been giving. Even Cain gave. The way you are giving, he also what?
Yes.
But his giving didn't have what? Faith. And when the enemy comes in Cain's life, his offering never spoke for him. But until today, the blood of Abel still speaks.
Amen.
Some here.
Amen.
Still speaks. So if I give in faith. If I pray in faith. Not because we are praying. Can we pray? Especially in prophetic churches and Pentecostal churches. We say, prayer. Oh, rabba, ba, ba, ba. Rikato, rabba, ba, ba, ba. Rabba, ba, 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 ba. Reba, ba. You check in your account, the 00. Say, stopping now.
It's stopping now.
Say that word again. Say, stopping now.
It's stopping now.
Say, my faith
will
move in my prayer. Things will begin to shift. That's it. So faith, it's not something like you see because you're in church, because you're a woman of God, because you're a man of God. I trust you, me. Faith does not look status. Jesus told Peter, Peter told Jesus, said, we're all touching you. We're all touching you. We're all your apostles. We're all touching you. He said, no, there is one who touched me. And when that one touched me, virtue, power left me. Peter touched Jesus and no power left Jesus. John touched Jesus and no power left Jesus. And there is no another place where it's written that power left Jesus when his apostles touched him. Nowhere. But there was one woman.
Yes.
Because faith does not look status. I've been in church for so many, many years. Until today, my story has not changed. Shut up. You think story changes because... You think story changes because... You have been somewhere for a long time. I've been faithful. You could be faithful without faith. I'm telling you.
Yes.
All other religions are also faithful.
Uh-huh.
Don't think you are very special. The difference is faith.
Yes.
There are so many people in all other churches you know in the world. There are people that are also very faithful. And some are not even saved, but they are faithful to their church. You belong to that category. Until you move, because that's what happens. People still come to church and it's like it's just a ritual where we just come to church, amen, amen, we go home. No, no. I told you this before. People think because it was Elijah, maybe there was a special thing about Elijah. No, the Bible says he was a man just like us. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
But Elijah, he went to pray. When he prayed, he had all the faith. He told everybody, the rain is coming. Imagine the level of faith where you told the president, say, President, start off now going home because the rain may hit you. And there's no clouds. And the Bible says the man went into prayer. As he's making prayer, imagine that. He's making prayer. Then he stops. He says, go and check. And then they come back to say there is nothing. He says, okay, don't worry. Then he goes again. He makes prayer. He says, go and check. They say there is nothing. Can you imagine if you can get into that level, you too, where you can be praying knowing that the answer is coming?
Yes.
But the problem is, you're actually thinking your miracle, you have got even a calculator to say, so, when I do that, then it will happen like that. Then it will happen like that. Then if I do that, then I'll make money there. And you're actually thinking it's faith. You are telling yourself it's faith. Then there I'll make this amount of money. Then when I do that, I'm going. Your friend Isaac in the Bible. What was supposed to harvest in 100 years? He harvested within 1 year.
Yes.
For God was with him. May you make profits. May the increase upon your life be supernatural. Stop operating from norms. Begin to operate from the spirit.
Yes.
The Bible says a spiritual man can never be understood. Stop trying to understand the things you can't. Tell yourself, by December, I would at least the little man I can touch is $5 million. And the moment the devil begins to give you questions, he says, how? The moment he says, how? You know what happened to the scripture? It says, when God was giving a message, are you here?
Yes, yes.
To Zachariah, he said, you'll have a child. He said, how? That was his last statement. That was his last statement. The Bible says immediately God removed his voice.
Uh-huh.
Because God knew that with his voice, he was too talkative. God knew that with his voice, he will cancel the miracle.
Uh-huh.
He will cancel the pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
You begin to say, but is this really happening? Are you hearing?
Yes.
In Luke 1:18, what happened? God knew he's going to cancel it.
And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years."
Mm-hmm.
And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things takes place."
Stop with
because that. You did not believe my words.
Why is he going to stop talking?
Because you did not believe my words.
Do you understand? I have brought good news to you. These glad tidings. I'm telling you that your wife will have a child. And you're asking me how? I thought you would say I receive. I brought good news to you that you'll be a billionaire. And you're asking me how? You are looking at your bank account. You're looking at how things have gone down. He says, "Do you know who I am? I'm Angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Lord." Because you didn't believe. Now the angel, Gabriel, is not Michael. He doesn't fight. For the first time Gabriel went into warfare was when he was fighting a man who didn't believe. I promise you, even angels will fight you. And you wonder some problems are coming in your life. There won't even be demons doing it. Angels will say, "Imagine we brought this message to you." And they're doubting. You will not speak until this has happened. Am I talking to you? Yes. Because that man could what? Cancel it. Uh-huh. With his what? With his words. Raise up your two hands. Say in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, "Lord, help my faith." Say it again. "Lord, help my faith." "Lord, help my faith." Just make a short prayer right now. Tell God, "I confess, I repent where I never believed. Help me, Lord, increase my faith." Make a prayer in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Listen to me. We are preparing right now because you are going to start operating like a woman of faith and a man of faith. On Friday, I'll begin to show you faith action steps that will move mountains. Listen to me. You're going to take some actions. From Friday, I'm going to reveal to you how to do it. Uh-huh. And when you begin to take those steps, uh-huh, and they're not a lot, they're only three, uh-huh, mountains will begin to move.
Amen.
Are you following or you're not?
Yes.
Now get this. Imagine someone is in church right now, or you're watching me, wherever you're watching me from at home, and you think there is so much faith in you. And then you meet Jesus, and then he says, "You of little faith." How can you feel? Imagine Mark chapter 9, from verse 22. Jesus, he meets up a family. And the family had just called the disciples of Jesus to cast out a demon. And the demon never left. And I told you this before. If you come to international visitors, it means you have got faith. Allegedly. Allegedly. Are you there, right? If you are fasting, it means you have faith. Allegedly. Now, if you call for disciples of Jesus to your house, it means you've got faith. Allegedly. So the man called for the disciples of Jesus to say, I believe my child will be delivered. So they called the disciples into his house. And they tried it the whole day. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. And the demon was not leaving. There were two spirits. There was a demon of Merek, which is a spirit of fire, and a marine spirit that operates in the water. And I taught you about this spirit already. Do you still remember that? So imagine the two demons. Are you there?
Yes.
There's a spirit of Merek which used to kill children. When it attacks a family, they would put up fire in Israel. They would put up fire and then they would take a child and they sacrifice that child on the fire. So this spirit would actually attack kids. That whether the family have done it or not, it will attack a child and the child just go on the fire and fall into the fire and die. Are you here?
Yes.
And now there's another spirit of water. Wherever there is water, the child will sit, that will be playing properly. All of a sudden, the child just be pushed into the water, into the swimming pool. Now imagine you have called for the apostles. Peter is there, John is there, Bartholomew is there. All the apostles are there. In your house, it means you have faith.
Yes.
But Jesus said there was not enough faith.
Yes.
And now they went in there and they began to say, come out, come out, come out. The whole day, nothing happened until Jesus himself came in. Now that's the verse. So the father is reporting to Jesus. Now let's start from verse 21. Okay? Let's start from verse 21.
So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can,
Are you seeing the purpose? Why the spirit was doing that? Throwing him into the what? The fire or into the water?
To destroy him.
And now, metaphorically, those waters are those of Isaiah. Though you shall walk through the waters, I shall be with you. Though you shall pass through the fire. And some of you right now, the spirit has thrown you in debts. The fire of debts to destroy you. Some of you, the demon has thrown you into the waters of marital confusion to destroy you. So you are looking at your wife right now as a problem. You are looking at your husband as a problem. Okay? But it's not the debts you are seeing right now that is a problem. There's a bigger picture. There is a spirit. Imagine if they were looking at the water as a problem. To say from now onwards, let's put water away from our child. As a solution. Let's put the fire away. Was that the solution?
No.
The solution was the spirit that is causing that problem. to be throwing our child into the fire. All the times you are thrown in trouble, problems. What is causing that? I'm slowly introducing you to action. Somebody say action.
Action.
So now, continue reading it. Then it says what?
But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Okay, in verse 23, let's read that again. It says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe. Now, question is, so what am I doing? I called you as disciples, and now I have called you. Is that not believing enough? If it was you, you would also be thinking, you're what? Exactly. And Jesus said, if you can believe.
Yes.
He says, if you can believe, look at that. All things, not some things.
All things.
All things are possible to him who believes. And the man begins with pride. Like some of you right now, the devil is telling you, I've got faith enough. The man starts with the pride. He says, I believe. Then he changes. Help my unbelief. The moment he said, help my unbelief, God said, okay, we'll help you unbelief. I believe. Look at the scripture. I believe. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Do you understand that? He even cried to say, what is he talking about?
Uh-huh.
What is he saying? I have got faith. He even cried and he said, but I believe. Like some of you also be offended to say, if I can tell you, say, yeah, you are still like this because there's no faith. You be like, my father, what are you talking about? So the man cried and he said, but I believe. Then he changed. He said, help my unbelief. When he said that, in verse 25, things begin to change. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit,
I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.
But when you hear the father never said that the child has a problem of deaf and dumb spirit.
Uh-uh.
Am I talking to you?
Yes.
The father didn't say what? There was no problem like that. But this spirit was deaf and dumb. What does that mean? It means even if you pray, it will just close his ears like this. And not hear your casting out. Someone said, deaf and dumb spirits around me, come out. Imagine the disciples are saying, come out, come out, come out. And it's not even hearing. And you've been doing this for years. You spirit of poverty, come out. It's even worse now. Your sickness, come out. Some sicknesses, I'm telling you, there is a demon behind that sickness. There's a death and what? A dumb spirit. So the disciples, they were saying, come out, come out, come. I have met this spirit most of the times. You'll be casting out demons from people. And one woman told me, said, Papa, me, ever since you began to pray for deliverance, I have never manifested. I said, woman, you had 16 demons, but they were deaf and dumb. They are demons. So when apostles were casting demons from this child, the whole day, come out, come out, come out. The child was just sitting down, not manifesting. Because it was what? A dumb spirit, not talking. But the other demons, they talk. Are you learning about deliverance? Oh, okay. So the fact that you didn't talk when I was praying for you doesn't mean you didn't have a demon. When I touched your head and you didn't talk, like, me, I don't talk. Shut up. They were dumb spirits. So apostles Apostles surrounded the child. Come out, come out, come. The demon just sitting like this. No manifestation. No talking. And not hearing. I'm taking you to action of faith because some of you don't even know why the problem is still there. We have to go to the roots.
Yes.
What's happening there?
Yes.
Say out.
Out.
Without faith, you may think it's faith, but the Bible says the Father thought he had faith, and Jesus said there was no faith. He said, if you believed, all things were possible. If you believed, all things were possible. Why some things are being impossible around you? He said, to those who believe, all things are possible. Meaning to say there was faith, but not enough. And I told you this already in the teaching yesterday. I said there could be small faith. Weak faith. The Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith because faith can be weak. The scripture says he was strong in faith. So you can also be strong in faith. Now, is faith, but it's weak or is strong? It's all faith. In the book of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, even if I can have faith that can move mountains. Meaning to say there is another faith that cannot move mountains. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says what? It says, let everyone, deal, it says, not think highly than he ought to think, but soberly as God dealt to each one a measure of faith, because faith can be measured. So if your faith is there, but it's weak, and how do you know that it's weak? It speaks this today, tomorrow it gets attacked. You begin to see, what if? Weak faith, sometimes when it sees the strong winds, it would move its eyes on Jesus and look on the winds. Jesus said, Peter, why did you doubt? You were walking on water properly and now you are sinking. Why did you doubt? Jesus didn't rebuke the storm of the water and the wind. Jesus didn't blame them. Neither did he blame the sea. He blamed his faith. Why did you doubt? So what's happening around you? Don't think God is going to blame what is fighting you. He's blaming your faith. Why doubteth thou? Why doubteth thou? Peter, why doubteth thou? But Master, can't you see the waves? Why doubteth thou? Say with me, I will never doubt again.
I will never doubt again.
Say it again. Say, I will never doubt again.
I will never doubt again.
Say, this miracle has to happen.
This
story of mine has to change. Say, in the mighty name of Jesus. Say it again. Say, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Matthew 14, 31. Jesus never blamed anything.
And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you little faith, why did you doubt?
Are you seeing the man being addressed as of little faith? What's his name? Peter. Listen, do you think you're more anointed more than Peter? And yet he's being rebuked of little what? Why is he being rebuked? Because he was sinking. And some of you, when you are sinking in your finances, you think God will feel mercy for you. He's looking at your faith and he said, why doubted thou? He says, Peter, why did you doubt? I'm sinking. Why did you doubt? Lay your hand upon your head and say, in the mighty name of Jesus. As I lay my hand upon my head, every battle
of mind
has been rebuked. In the name of Jesus. Every tactic of the enemy has been suspended. This is the house of God.
It is a house of God.
From today,
my body will become an altar
where miracles will happen.
My body will become an altar
where miracles will happen.
My mind will become an altar
where great things will take place.